Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
President Trump says no transgenders in the military, no individuals that want to be the opposite sex from their birth. This is something that Congress had been working on. It's something that has been a longstanding policy in the military until President Obama tried to change it. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. Our guest is Jonathan Alexander. He's our Director of Public Policy in our Washington, D.C. office. And I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the Director of Communications for Liberty Counsel. Jonathan, you've been working in our Washington, D.C. office with Congress on these issues and many others, but certainly on the issue of the military. And we applaud what President Donald Trump has done in this reversal of the Obama-era policy. But just before this happened, you and some other representatives of different organizations met at the White House to talk about this very issue.
Right. So this is following a series of conversations that we've had on Capitol Hill and recently in the White House addressing this transgender mandate. You know, last year at this time, Department of Defense Secretary Ashton Carter made this unilateral move that abolished longstanding policy, saying that he would now accept folks with transgender ideology into the military. And so we met on Tuesday, the week before this tweet came out, with the president's staff, members of different agencies, addressing ways that they could pull back funding towards these sex reassignment surgeries. And then we met again. I met one-on-one with White House staff the Friday after, so twice in 1 week. And we addressed these issues as well, saying that, you know, when it comes to our military funding, we must stress that we prioritize unit cohesion and military readiness and not this newfound idea of sex reassignment surgery, especially here in the military.
You know, absolutely. You know, Jonathan, we've talked about this on previous programs, Matt and I. You know, the military is having to strip funds in different areas, and here they were wanting to use taxpayer money to pay for surgeries for these gender-confused people. I mean, this is just absurd.
And the costs are estimated at anywhere from $700 million to $1.3 billion over 10 years.
You know, I was watching Mandy Campbell, who is the General Counsel for Family Research Council. She's a graduate of Liberty University School of Law, and she worked in our Washington, D.C. office as the Director of Public Policy there, and she was being challenged on that very issue. Where did those numbers come from? Because the other side has such smaller numbers, and she went down point by point by point how these numbers add up, and this is just in the active military. These are not people who are part of the military, but they're in inactive status, but otherwise would be covered by these medical benefits and surgeries and hormone treatments for life. And it doesn't even take into consideration the downtime, the men and women hours, if you will, for surgery and recovery time to go through this kind of process. So This is a lowball estimate, frankly. What you just mentioned, it could be even much, much higher than that when you add non-active, as well as the downtime of active military men and women to go through the surgery. And Donald Trump tweeted saying that after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. That's from President Donald
Trump.
Thank
you.
Now, there's a commander-in-chief, right?
Yes.
He's well within his authority to reinstate these recruiting guidelines to prioritize military readiness. Anyone who's entering into the military, there are a host of reasons why folks have been rejected from the military. But if you have a high risk of depression or suicide, as is found often within members of the transgender agenda, you know, you're disqualified from serving. It isn't a right to serve. It's a privilege that you have to get to serve in the military. And of course, if individuals aren't ready or they show that their service will disrupt unit cohesion, then certainly they shouldn't be allowed to serve in the military.
It's really, I mean, think about, we have to be ready for the enemy at any time, but you've got all this confusion that will implode from the inside. So how can you properly prepare to defend our country when all this is going on the inside?
Well, they're having to develop policies, or they were, about what do you do with pregnant men or men who go through their monthly menstrual cycle. Well, obviously men don't do that. These are women who are parading as men, and they're having to come up with these bizarre policies. Mm-hmm. Rather than being focused on unit cohesion and military readiness, they're being forced, or they were being forced, to engage in this kind of ideology. You know, some of the media, of course, anything that President Trump does, they want to criticize. So they're blaming him for this reversal. The problem is not President Donald Trump, but it's former President Obama who ultimately pushed this agenda in his last year in office, both in the military and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commissions and the public schools. And it's him that tried to use the military as this social experimentation, this forced LGBTQ, if you will, agenda. And President Donald Trump has just restored the military to its proper purpose.
Yeah, thankfully, the president drew a line when it came to the military. He, you know, these recruiting standards that the military has longstanding have had were completely ignored when the Secretary of Defense argued even that, you know, transgenders entering into the military would have these medically necessary treatments, right? It was required that these individuals would have it. I mean, that is bizarre when you think of what we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on security when we deal with our military, not sex changes. You know, our troops shouldn't be trained in transgender sensitivity classes. They should be trained in facing threats and defending our country.
Absolutely, as well as having the proper equipment and money going to these transgender surgeries and all this kind of stuff versus getting the proper equipment they need to defend our country.
Yeah, $1 billion or more. And
that's crazy.
You know, lowball estimate, I believe, when you add in the other factors. That's a lot of money that otherwise could go to buying security for these individuals, these men and women, equipment and protection for them, and providing proper benefits for those who are serving. You know, as you mentioned, serving in the military is not a right, it's a privilege, and not everyone can serve, even those who want to serve, because of various kinds of medical conditions or psychological conditions. And with the transgender community, there is a high rate, as you mentioned, of depression. There's a high rate of other cardiovascular conditions that are brought on by ingesting high dosages of hormones of your opposite gender, your opposite DNA. It's actually forcing your body to do something that it doesn't want to do. And then the surgery as well. And then there's also, even for those who go through this, there is a very high rate of suicide. And in fact, you remember Manning, who wanted to change from a man to a woman in his external appearance. He was the individual who ultimately revealed many of our secret information that I think puts our men and women in the military at risk, and certainly at risk to our allies and to the United States of America.
And I think as a woman, you know, internally, I mean, you talk about their safety factors. When you have men that are saying they're women, they're still men, and there's still attractions to women. And so there's safety factors right there.
So, Jonathan, this is a tweet that came out. It's obviously something that President Donald Trump is going to do. The next step from here now is, I would imagine, a directive to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and then putting this into actual policy.
Yeah, there ought to be a DODI directive, and a directive that goes to his Joint Chiefs, and mentioned from this top-down approach that this is going to be the new direction that the military will go in. Certainly the tweets have credibility in that the current commander-in-chief has made clear instructions to, in consultation with the generals, clear instructions to his staff chiefs that this is direction that we want to happen. But certainly we're going to be looking ahead to find those actual directives written down and disseminated amongst the different branches of the military.
You know, I know some people are looking at the president's time in office, and of course, the media has been very much against him, and there's been some missteps along the way, obviously. But you look at some of these policies here with regards to stabilizing and refocusing our military. It is so refreshing to see a commander-in-chief that's actually taking charge of the military, doing the right thing for the American people, doing the right thing for the men and women who serve this country. These are men and women who are putting their lives and their families at risk. And I am so glad to see a commander-in-chief take their best interest in heart and the best interest, frankly, of the United States of America. For more information, you can go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org. You can also go to Liberty Council Action, lcaction.org. That's our 501c4 issue advocacy organization. Jonathan Alexander is our Director of Public Policy. in our Washington, D.C. office. It's one block from the Capitol. We're focused on public policy in the nation's capital and all other 50 states. If you want to learn more about Liberty Counsel and the various ministries, go to lc.org. That's lc.org. Remember, Liberty Counsel in your prayers and your financial support.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. lc.org.